In my mind, the two purposes of our gathering is number one, to glorify God, and number two, that He might meet the needs that are represented by the folks that have gathered. And there are deep needs here that only His Spirit can move and touch and minister to. But I am persuaded it's in that atmosphere when the saints praise and worship Him, it's in that atmosphere He's able to touch hearts and move in the way He desires, and we need Him to move. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll be spending the time in Isaiah 7. As you're turning, because it's the Christmas season, in this series of the promises, we're looking at promises He has already fulfilled. And that's a wonderful thing, because it's the fact, it's the track record of the promises that He has fulfilled that speaks to us that He will fulfill the promise we've not yet seen accomplished. Amen. I keep thinking of Don's testimony, how this Christmas means so much more. Since this Christmas, she has committed her life wholly to following the Lord Jesus Christ, and amen. Every song is fresh and new. Amen. It could be that way for all of us, just to recognize all over again what it means that He has come and that our sin can be forgiven. Amen. We have the hope of everlasting life. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I know you'll want to be back tonight. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. The first thing I want you to know is this was given 800, I'll just give you the round number, was given 800 years before it was fulfilled. But certainly it was spoken through the prophet Isaiah 800 years. This prophecy was fulfilled in its fullness. A virgin did conceive. She bore a son, and she called His name Emmanuel. And then in Isaiah 9 and 6, I've already read this. I want to read again because it's further information about this Emmanuel, this son. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called, read these with me, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to talk this morning about the promise of the child. 800 years before He came, they had received the promise that a child. I mean, if you have big problems, you're not really looking for a child. If you go to the hospital, you're not looking for help through a child. If you call the police, you're not looking for a child to come. Right? But I'm going to tell you, our hope, our help, our saving was all tied up in this child, this promised child. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's both the sign and it's the answer of the help we need as humankind. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that Your anointing, Your Spirit would be here. God, You know every need of every heart. You know every struggle. You know every question. You know every path of darkness. You know every pain. Lord, You know those that are suffering this morning. But I pray that through the hearing of Your word, there would be faith. Lord, a belief that You are our help. You are our healing. You are our hope. God, I pray You'd move through Your word. That You'd make Yourself known. Help me, Lord, to speak clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I don't know if you've heard or not, but baby Jesus got a GPS. Once again this year, there's been an outbreak, a rash of thieves stealing baby Jesus's from nativity scenes. Some of those baby Jesus, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, maybe it'll increase the crime wave, but some of those baby Jesuses cost $400, $500, $600. Now we're talking about the replicas. We're not talking about live nativities. They've tried different things. Some of them have taken chains and chained the baby Jesus to big concrete blocks, and they tried different things, surveillance cameras and all of that. But the thing that works best is they are implanting GPSs in these baby Jesuses, and so when they're stolen, they call the police and they get in the detector, and then they're able to trace them down to whoever stole the baby. Isn't that a great newspaper headline? Your picture there, stole baby Jesus. And so Jesus got a GPS. You know, some thieves aren't just kind enough to leave an empty manger. They put a pumpkin there or some other item that they throw up there in the empty. Some put, because it's an insult, you know, Jesus was a Jew, some put a ham in the empty manger and all kinds of, you know, crazy things. But I want you to think about that. You know, I've always just been repulsed by that. I mean, how low does a person get that they're going to steal a baby Jesus out of a nativity scene? That's pretty bad, isn't it? Well, what I want you to think about is, what do those kind of thieves have in common with millions of government officials and millions of businesses and business people? What does it have? What do those thieves have in common with our school officials and so many Americans at Christmas? They all have one thing in common. They've taken Jesus out of Christmas. And so while I can be just really upset because some low thief would steal a figurine out of a nativity display, we ought to be more upset that everywhere, by law, by all kinds of policy and pressure, you can't even walk into a department store at Christmas and not discover they've taken Jesus right out of it. But you know, it's even worse than that. There are people that in their hearts have taken Christ out of their lives. I heard one TV personality and commentator say this week, I wish they would just take all of religion out of Christmas. And I said, what are you talking about? They already have, just about. But that was her comment. I wish they'd take all religion out of Christmas. But I feel this way. There's no nativity scene without a baby Jesus. And there's no Christmas without a Christ. Even if the manger is empty, you don't have a nativity. You don't have a Christmas. But I'm here to also preach this morning. If your soul is empty of Jesus, you have no life. You have no hope. You have no joy. You have no peace. It's Christ in the heart that gives you joy and peace and eternal life. Amen. Is the manger of your soul empty? This child that was promised so long ago is of all importance to humanity, not just to the season of celebration, but this promised child is important to our lives, our living, our very eternity. But I'm glad I can preach. This child has come, and if you have him in your heart, you ought to rejoice. And if you don't have him, you must know you can invite him in to your heart, your life, your soul, your eternity, and the child will come. The Christ will come and fill your heart. Hallelujah. Don't you feel a little bit like Paul when he said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift? This is a promise that is miraculous. This is a promise that is miraculous. Let me tell you a little bit about this promise, and it'll be beneficial if you'll just get a few little facts here. In Isaiah's time, we're talking about a king named Ahaz. And Israel has split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom, which Ahaz is king of, the kingdom of Judah. And what has happened, even though they're blood, they're Jews, the northern kingdom and its king has made an alliance with Syria. Yes, the Syria that you're hearing about in the news. They've made an alliance, and they say, now let us go down. Let us conquer this southern kingdom of Judah. Let's take Ahaz captive, kill him or whatever, and put a puppet king on the throne, and then we can control the southern kingdom of Judah as well. Now, when Ahaz and all the people get wind that things are happening, that armies are building, the Bible says they begin to tremble. They're full of fear. It looks like the end is drawing close. And so God sends the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz and said, look, God knows the plan, and here's the plan against you, Ahaz. Those two kings and their armies are coming. They're going to dethrone you. They're going to put a man in your place. At least that is their plan. But Isaiah says, Ahaz, God wants you to know something. He's not going to let that happen. God is going to give you victory over those two kings. Now, Ahaz, what God wants to do is he wants to give you a miraculous sign so you can know that his word is true. You are going to have victory. That's what he said to him. Ahaz, ask any sign that you want so you can know this is true. Let me read this. Verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, listen, oh, it sounds so humble. I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Ahaz said he's not going to ask because he doesn't want to tempt God. And as I said in the reading, that may sound pious, that may sound humble and spiritual, but the true reason Ahaz didn't want to ask for a sign was because he was not trusting in God. What he was doing, well, to start with, Ahaz didn't even really try to serve God. He lived wickedly. But beyond that, Ahaz, when he heard about these two countries coming against him, he started secret negotiations with Assyria, not to be confused with Syria, with Assyria. And he was actually, Brother Wilson, he was stripping the gold and silver from the temple and sending it to the king of Assyria to come and rescue him from the kings of Israel and Syria. And so he sounded real spiritual. Oh, I don't want to tempt God. You know, he's such a righteous. I don't want to tempt him. Oh, he sounded so spiritual and all. But the reason he didn't want a sign is because he was involved in making a negotiation, making an alliance with an ungodly king, an enemy of Judah. On the sly, instead of trusting God, he was trusting in his own efforts. He was trusting in his own plan. Verse 13, and Isaiah said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. God said, ask for a sign. You say, I'm not going to ask for a sign. You're getting one anyway. And here's the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Ahaz, you're not only wearying men, you're wearying God. What does that mean? Ahaz, quit the play acting. You're a hypocrite. You're trying to act like you're so spiritual. Number one, you don't have God fooled. And number two, you don't even have your own people fooled. They know you're not really a follower of Jehovah God. They know you really don't serve him. You're wearying God and people. You won't ask for a sign, but there's a sign coming anyway. Virgin shall conceive. See, we don't normally take it all the way back to the prophet 800 years before, but this is where that prophecy came from. Oh, isn't he a great God? By prophecy, he writes history before it happens. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child. You know, here Ahaz is. He doesn't want a sign. Listen to me, folks. I believe some folks don't want God to speak. I really believe this. They would never voice it, Sister Brock, but there's people that come to church that really don't want God to move. They really don't want to feel the Spirit of the Lord. They really don't want the Word of God to be penetrating. Why? They just want a usual service. Things is why? Because if God moves, if the Spirit moves, if God speaks, then there is a call to commitment. They are going to have to decide whether they're going to devote themselves and give themselves to. They're going to have to take action if God moves. So just give me a comfortable service. I don't want a sign. I don't want to move with the Holy Spirit. I don't want the preaching to address me. Just let me come and sit and not have a sign from God. That's why Ahaz didn't want a sign. Because if God starts giving signs and talking, then Ahaz is going to be called to a decision. Are you going to follow Jehovah or not? But I believe every service ought to be a call to decision. Are we going to follow God or not? Give us a sign. Give us a word from heaven. Give us a moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Have you ever started trying to tell somebody they've already heard the other side of the story, and you start saying to them, "Well, hey, wait a minute. Let me tell you how things really were." And you know what they'll say? "Oh, I don't want to hear it." That's what Ahaz said. "I don't want a sign. I've already got things worked out, figured out. I've got it taken care of." Amen. Some people don't want to hear the other side of the story. Amen. So here is the promise. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. I'm not going to linger here. I just want to say whatever this meant for Ahaz's time, however it was fulfilled in history in Isaiah's time, I believe this promise has a greater, further reaching meaning than just Ahaz's time. Even I believe this promise speaks of that Messiah that we preached about last week, that Savior, that Deliverer. Amen. Perhaps it did speak. Some folks feel like this is speaking about how Isaiah is going to take another wife, a virgin, and have another child, because all through Isaiah he has children and he names them, and his children with the name is a message to God's people. And so some think that, well, Isaiah is just going to have another wife, and he's going to have another son called Emmanuel, and that's another message to God's people. Whether it happened that way or not, whether there was an application for Isaiah and Ahaz's time or not, I don't know all about that or how to figure it all out. But one thing I'm convinced of, this promise went way beyond Isaiah and Ahaz's time. It went 800 years into the future and to a place called Bethlehem. Hallelujah. And a place called Nazareth. This is a promise that would be fulfilled with the coming of the Messiah. Hallelujah. And it did come to pass. You say, why was this a miraculous promise? Well, I want you to look at it. It says a virgin shall conceive. You know, some people try to explain it this way. Well, a virgin just means a young lady. Well, that may be, but in that culture, every young lady was someone that was kept from relations with a man. Right? And they said, oh, what it means is she was a virgin before she got married, and then she conceived. Well, let me ask you that. How would that be a sign? Didn't that happen every day? I'm talking about folks in churches will tell you that. They'll say, well, a virgin shall conceive. That means she was a virgin before she met her man and got married, and then she conceived. What's a sign in that? That happens every day. That happened every day in Ahaz's time. Amen. I know maybe he's saying, well, she didn't get married and we don't know what happened. Well, I know that was more rare then, but that's still not a miracle. There's only one way, if this is a sign, to be a sign, it has to be something that only God can do. It can't be something that's common. It can't be something that happens all the time. It can't be something that's natural. If it's going to be a supernatural sign, it has to be something that supernaturally takes place that only God, Jehovah, can do. Ahaz, I want to give you a sign. I want to show you something, God says, that only I can do. Oh, you don't want a sign? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to show you something that only God can do. Listen, this isn't science. This isn't medicine. This isn't biology. This is God at work, God intervening. A virgin shall conceive. You say that's impossible. That is the point. That's why it is a sign. Only God can do that. So ultimately, this promise meant that the biologically impossible thing would happen. A virgin, a young lady that had never had relations with a male would conceive a child in her womb. Now I want you to think about this. What if you had have lived during Mary's time and you were in her village and she was unmarried and suddenly it became evident she was expecting a child? Would you have believed that she had not committed fornication? Would you have believed her story, that this wasn't a biological thing but a supernatural thing, that the Holy Spirit had it'd been a hard thing to believe until you realize, my God can do anything. Anything. He made the squirrel. He's the one that wrote the laws of biology. By all means, he can tweak them whenever he wants. Hallelujah. But you see, this sign had to be something only God can do. And I want to tell you this morning, the greatest needs of our life are things that only God can help with. We look for human source and human help and human answer. Did you know there are people sitting in this congregation this morning, and you have situations that if you're honest, there's no help going to come from man. There's no help maybe it's going to come from medicine. There's no help that's going to come from education or philosophy or anything else from a horizontal plane. Your need this morning, if you get help, it's going to have to come from God. Well, good news. There is a God who intervenes. There is a God who interacts. There is a God. And if you'll cry out to Him, God will do the impossible in your life. You could have walked in here without hope of eternal life, with things in your life so wrong, things you've done so bad. Amen. You don't see any way you can be forgiven. Why don't you just call out to Him? Say, God, if you can cause a virgin to conceive, you can bring new life to this old heart. Hallelujah. You can forgive. Glory to God. The sign was miraculous. Secondly, it was a promise that is marvelous. He wasn't. But this promise, this word from Isaiah, was meant to impress Ahaz. When Isaiah said to Ahaz, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, Ahaz was supposed to go, wow, tremendous, marvelous. What's the word we use? Awesome. Great. Supposed to impress. It was supposed to be welcomed news. It was supposed to bring him comfort. You got the enemy coming against you, but God is sending a son, counselor, prince of peace. It was supposed to have brought joy. Ahaz should have been thrilled with the news that God was going to intervene. Instead, Ahaz greeted the news with disdain and apathy and complacency. His attitude was the attitude of most folks today. When you talk to them of great spiritual truth, people will look at you and say, so what? What's the big deal? Ahaz even dressed his apathy up, as we've mentioned. He dressed his apathy up in religious posturing, pious words, and faked humility. If only Ahaz would have realized, here I am, a sinful king. Here I am, a plotter of my own way. Here I am, an undeserved hearer, even to have a word from God. Here I am, just a lowly person that's lived wickedly. Who am I that God would send his prophet to me? Who am I that he would give me the announcement that would affect humanity through the ages? Who am I that he would come to me and give me the promise of the coming Messiah? That's the way he should have responded. Who am I to get this marvelous news? Oh, what marvelous news it was. Isaiah chapter 9 again. A child is born, a son's given. The government's on his shoulder. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government's peace, there shall be no end. Verse 8, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and he hath lighted upon Israel. Ahaz should have seen that light in the promise and said, wow. Instead, he said, what's the big deal? Amen. I've got help coming through my own efforts. If he had only realized that promise that was a sign to say that God knew what was going on. Hallelujah. God knew. Ask a sign. A virgin shall conceive. God was saying, if I can tell you what's going to happen 800 years from now, I certainly know what's happening to you right here today, Ahaz. I know about those armies. I know about that enemy. And I want to tell us that too. If God could tell something 800 years before it happened, if he could tell man it was going to happen and it did, he certainly knows what's going on in your life, your family, your situation right here today. That was a sign to say God knows what's going on. But it goes beyond that. It was a sign to say God cares about what's going on. You know what Ahaz deserved and Judah too? They deserved God to allow Syria and Israel to come in and destroy them and burn their houses and kill their children. And that's what they deserved. But God said, I'm going to give you a sign to show you I'm not going to let that happen. You know, all of us, because of our sin, if you're here this morning, you're away from God. I'll tell you what, you deserve the same thing I did. You deserve for God to just let you go your own way, do your own thing, sin your sin, and end up in a devil's hell. That's what we deserve. But oh, Ahaz, you may deserve that, but God has given you a sign to say he's not just going to let that happen. He's going to do everything to try to stop that. He's going to give you Jesus this morning. He's going to offer you eternal life if you'll just receive it and say, what marvelous news. Hallelujah. It was a sign to say that God knew what was going on and God cared about what was going on, but also it was a sign to say that God was going to give victory. I believe this morning some of you have impossible situations, but I believe that even the review of this promise should be a sign to you that God can give you victory this morning. If he can cause a virgin to conceive, he can bring life into your situation. But here's the catch for Ahaz and all of us. Verse 9, chapter 7, verse 9. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. Listen, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. He could see Ahaz was not accepting the message. Not accepting. And he said, if you won't believe this, you're not going to be established. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be ruined. I'm giving you a message of life. I'm giving you a message straight from God. I'm giving you a message of hope. The Messiah is coming. But if you choose not to believe, you're going to be torn down and destroyed. You know what that means? It means every person, salvation and eternal destiny really truly is dependent upon a choice. You can say, well, some folks have it better than I, or some folks are raised in church, or some folks have this and have that. No, it all boils down. He's given us the message. It boils down to, will I believe it? If I believe it, there will be victory. If I believe it, there will be hope and eternal life. But if I choose to not believe it, there will be ruin and wreck. Did you know there's a lot of sad things in the Bible? And Jesus said one of the saddest things, every time I run across it, I trip up on it. I can't hardly get past it. He looked around at that unbelieving crowd. Listen to what he said. He said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. You will not come unto me that you might have life. He didn't say you can't come, or you got things against you, or you were raised wrong, or something happened to you and you can't come. He said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. Ahaz, you ought to be saying, what a marvelous message. I'm going to believe it. A virgin's going to conceive and bring it. Instead, Isaiah does this little pious thing. Well, I don't know about that. You know, there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different ways of looking at this. Ahaz, if you will not believe, you're going to be destroyed. Oh, I'd rather believe. How many found it made a difference in your life when you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. I will believe. People need to be reminded what Christmas is all about. The Savior is come. Yes, some people respond, what's the big deal? So what? I'm like Ahaz. I've got plans of my own. I've got things worked out. But others are going to hear the gospel and the message of Christmas one more time. And this time they're going to shout, hallelujah. What a marvelous message. What mercy of God. I'm going to believe it this time. I'm going to believe He is my Savior. And those of us that have heard, we ought to rejoice. And say, look what the Lord has done. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. How marvelous is my Savior's love to me. Let's stop just a minute. Let's thank Him for the marvelous message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I'll have to tell this as I remember it. When I was a teenager, had pastors, some older than I, that were unable to have a child. I went to Bible school, and one of the summers during Bible school, went back to the home church, and we had an evangelist there. A pastor, well-respected evangelist, was preaching us a revival. And during that revival, during a service, God gave him a prophecy, and he called our pastors up who were now in their middle age and wanting a child so desperately. And he called them up, and he said, we're going to pray for them. And we prayed for them, and he prophesied. He said, you're going to have a child. And they did. But I was thinking about that as I prepared this. Can you imagine? And I've never talked to him about this, or if I have, I can't remember. Can you imagine the joy of that pastor couple desiring a son to have the man of God come and say, you're going to have a child? What a wonderful message. What marvelous news. And that's what he was saying to Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. But what does that say to us? It says, we can have joy birthed in our hearts. We can have eternal life. And if we're a believer and we've got huge problems, we can look at the track record of God to keep His word, and we can say, God, you're faithful. You will move in this situation too. You see, this promise about a virgin bringing a child was to give comfort because armies were coming against you. Amen. I don't know what's coming against you. It may be just some kind of awful problem. I don't know. Financial. But we can still turn to the message. A virgin shall conceive. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. He'll be Savior. And we can turn to that in the midst of our trouble and say, there is help, there is hope. Last of all, it's a promise that's meaningful. I thought a lot of this. You look at a child, you never know what they're going to become. How many knows the inventor of the electric light bulb was one time a little baby? This is going to be deep. You'll have to stick with me. How many knows that the discoverer of America was once an infant? What about Abraham Lincoln? He might have grown to be 6'4", but there was a time he was fed from his mother's arms. Right? On and on we could go. The builders of the first airplane from this area, at one time they were only babies. If you've had a child, you've been there. I'll never forget holding our first child as a little baby. Started a revival about 3 or 4 days after she was born, a week after she was born, somewhere in there, and we're traveling in the summer, and I'm holding her during the day. I'm thinking to myself, what's she going to look like? What's she going to do? What's she going to be like? You never know when you hold a baby what they're going to be. Hallelujah. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Well, it's just a child. When she held that child, she had the same thoughts. She'd been told, but what's he going to be? What's it going to be like? See, it's more than just a child that she held in her arms. It's the fact of what that child was going to become. Mary, did you know when you held that child, You were looking into the face of God, your Savior. It works the other way too. Hitler was a baby at one time. That man on death row, he was a little infant at one time, loved of his mother. Amen. Nourished of his mother. Amen. It wasn't that it was just a child. It's what that child would become. That's why I read both prophecies. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and he shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and Prince of Peace and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, it's what that child became. You see, this promise is meaningful, amen, because of what this child would become. Isaiah tells us about that. He said that child will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Every time that mother held that baby and called its name Emmanuel, she said to herself, anybody else in the room, and perhaps somebody on the other side of the wall, Emmanuel, God is with us. It wasn't just another child. It was God with us. Hallelujah. Ultimately, Emmanuel is not just God with us in the sense, amen, that he's with us in his presence. It didn't just mean God is on our side or God is among us. Emmanuel ultimately meant God has become one of us. It's enough to know he's with us, he's among us, but it was more than that. He became us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us as the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah! The child became God-man and walked in our midst to save us eternally. That was fulfilled. I want to skip 800 years. Matthew chapter 1. While he thought on these things, Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Listen, 800 years. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This was not from relations with men. Mary has not been unfaithful and committed fornication. This is an act of God. Verse 21, and she, 800 years later, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, did you hear what I just read? 800 years later, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. I want you to know God is with us. You see, when they first heard this prophecy, they could not have understood completely how it would be fulfilled. I'm sure they did not immediately understand that it was talking about God coming as a human. But that's how it was fulfilled. That's the way it did happen. Amen. They begin to learn, you know, when God was talking to Ahaz and Judah through Isaiah, he was trying to tell them, you got enemy armies coming against you, but God is with you and you're going to have victory. And so they only could understand it that God was with them in the sense of his presence being there. They could only understand it, God is with us in the sense that God will provide and God will protect. But oh, as time went by and this was fulfilled, suddenly it wasn't about God just being with his people in a general sense of his presence and his provision and his protection. It was about God specifically being among them as one of them. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, only God can give us the help that we need because he has become one of us. It was we that needed saving. He had to become one of us to save us. But he had to remain more than just us. He had to also be God. Because if he was only us, he would have needed saving too. But because he was God, he did not need to be saved. Luke chapter 2, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. Hallelujah. We're about done, but I want you to think across the building this morning. If you're here and you've been excluding God from your life, if you're here and you're really not concerned about God's involvement in your life, maybe you're here, you're even like Ahaz, you're engaged in activities that you cannot ask God to be involved in. Maybe you're here, you've set your own course like Ahaz, you're doing your own thing. And because of that, like Ahaz, this promise means nothing to you. You're not interested. But if you're here and you want help, I want you to know the sign is also the answer. The sign was a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. But that child she conceived and brought forth was the answer. The sign this morning is God has fulfilled prophecy. That's the sign. But that message of his fulfilling prophecy is also the answer. It's not a generic thing. He came to save the world. It's a specific thing. He came to save you. Hallelujah. Oh, what a marvelous message. Ahaz was not impressed with the message, but the New Testament Christians were. We're about done this morning, but I want you to notice this thing about the child. Ahaz didn't get it, but after it happened, there were folks that did. Do you remember, we just covered in the book of Acts, the church is being persecuted, they're being threatened with death and every other thing, but when they're beaten, they're let go back, or when they're threatened, they're let go to go back to their company, their church. And I begin to read there, Acts chapter 4, they begin to pray. Listen to their prayer. For of a truth, against thy holy what? The promise of the child. Against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they gathered together against him. Verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And they kept praying. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Oh, God, here's what we need you to do. Verse 30. Stretch forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. I said the child was not only the sign, he was the answer. That child would heal. That child would deliver. Oh, let's read on. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were caught up in this child who had become the same. He's not only the sign, he's the answer. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Eight 800 years later, a virgin conceived and brought forth a child. Several days later, that mother Mary, that proxy father Joseph, they took that baby to the temple to perform the rituals of the Jews. We're talking about a child. A child. They started towards the temple, but an old man got up to shave. Well, Jews didn't shave. So he was brushing his teeth. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, today is the day. Hurry up. Get ready. Today's the day. Get to the temple as quickly as you can get there. Ahaz didn't believe it, but there was a man called Simeon that believed it. And then Lucas says, and behold, this man whose name was Simeon, the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's cry. Man, Simeon's getting old. How much longer can he live? He overhears and said, I'm going to live till he gets here. I'm talking about Ahaz didn't believe it. Ahaz didn't want to hear it. But there was a man, Simeon, that read it and believed it. And it was spoken to his heart. Let's read on. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took him up, took the child in his arms, and blessed God, saying, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I want you to get this. Here's Simeon. He's holding a child. He's looking into the face of a child. But as he looks into the face of his child, he said, God, I'm looking at my salvation. I'm looking at the salvation of my people. I'm looking at everlasting life. I'm looking at deliverance. I'm looking at healing. I'm looking at hope. I'm looking at joy. I'm looking at the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, that's us, and the glory of thy people Israel. I'm done, but I got to tell you, every heart is a manger. Every heart has arms of faith. The question is, if your heart is a manger, is Jesus there? If your arms has arms of faith like Simeon, have you reached out and got a hold of this Christ, this salvation? I want you to know, you may be here, you may be as empty as one of those mangers those thieves have stole the Christ out of. Your heart may be that empty. It may be that evident. There's nothing there. But you don't have to leave that way. Mary allowed Simeon to take that child into his arm. And if you'll come to God this morning, the Father will allow you to take Christ into your heart. Little kids in Sunday school, they don't have it far wrong. Come in to my heart. Got an empty manger here. I want to ask you, maybe you've been there before. Maybe there was a time you believed. I want to ask you, have you allowed someone or something to steal the Christ out of the manger of your heart? You have no joy. You have no peace. You're filled with every other thing. Because a backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Have you allowed something or someone to steal the child from your heart? Hallelujah. Well, if you did, Jesus has a GPS. It's the Holy Spirit. And if he's not in your heart, the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, there he is. You can have him in your life. You can put him back in the manger. Would you stand and worship him? Hallelujah. Let's worship him across the building. Come on, let's worship him. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Let's pray for an eternal thing right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray for an eternal thing right now. Hallelujah. 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 No more hesitation. You're here this morning and your heart is as empty as those mangers where they've stolen Christ out of the nativity. Your heart is empty. You have no hope. You have no life. You have no joy. You have no peace. I want you to know, if you'd come to the Lord this morning, if you would believe the good news, if you'd say, Father, I believe you sent the Son to be my Savior. I've done a lot of wrong things, but you said if I would confess my sins, you would forgive me and cleanse me. If I would call upon you, you would save me. I believe that message. If you'd come to him, he'd put Christ in your heart this morning. He'd fill you with hope. He'd fill you with everlasting. Are you here and your heart feels as empty as a manger without the Christ child? Would you come right now? Don't hesitate. Someone will be here to pray with you. We use this step as an altar. Amen. You just be truthful. You just be truthful right now. My heart is empty. My heart heart. Maybe it's filled with a lot of darkness and fear and this and that, but it's empty of God. It's empty of light. It's empty of joy. I need that Christ. I need that salvation. Are you here? You'd like to come right now. Don't hesitate. Maybe you're a young person, maybe you're an older person on either side of life, but you need Jesus this morning. You're tired of an empty manger. You're tired of an empty heart. Are you here? You'd like to come to church? You're praying. You're praying. God is reaching. Don't be like Ahaz and say, what's the big deal? Hear it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe the message. Maybe you're here and something or someone has stolen the hope, the joy from your life. You'd like God to put it back in this morning. Would you come right now? You just be real honest. I'm not even saying you're not a believer. I'm just saying something or someone has stolen the joy out of your heart, the peace. Would you come right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These altars are open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you're glad he's come this morning, I want you to lift your hands and worship him across the building. Hallelujah. A virgin hath conceived and brought forth a child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. I want you to know he's still with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to come begin to feel this altar. And if you're one without Christ in your heart, or maybe you had him there and something stolen it from you, I want you to come and say, put the child in my heart. Put the Savior in my heart. Amen. Would the church come in general? You can come with the church as they come. Somebody will pray with you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Be like Simeon this morning. Reach out with arms of faith and take your salvation in your arms. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You need Jesus this morning. Would you come?
Wonderful,
you need Jesus. Would you come?
Merciful Savior.
You need Jesus.
Precious,
would you come?
Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that Lamb could,
you need Jesus. Would you come?
Rescue the souls of men.
You need Jesus. Would you come?
Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Your heart's so empty. Would you come? No joy, no hope, no light.
Counselor, Comforter, King.
Would you come? He'll fill your heart.
Spirit, we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way.
Oh, church, believe this marvelous message.
Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore.
Worship him this morning.
You give us healing and grace.
What about, has something or someone stolen your joy, taken your peace, taken your everlasting life? The manger of your heart is empty. The Holy Spirit's pointing Christ out to you. There he is. There he is. You can have Christ in your heart again. You can have Christ in your heart afresh.
Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne.
Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord.
Oh, we're falling before your throne.
Bless your name,
and
Lord.
You are the one.
Bless
that
your
we
name,
praise.
Lord.
You are the one we adore. You give us healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for.
Don't let anyone or anything take your joy.
Always hunger.
Take the Christ
for.
From your heart.
You are the one we adore.
fill your heart this morning with hope and joy,
oh,
peace,
eternal life.